Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson's site. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Here's something that we didn't know but now do. In the winter of 2020, Tony Fauci wanted to know how the Chinese Communist Party was responding to COVID. They had COVID, we had COVID, and he wanted to see what they were doing. So he sent one of his deputies, a man called Clifford Lane, to China to find out. And Lane seemed stunned by what he saw there. Entire Chinese cities had been quarantined, the whole city. Huge numbers of people were forcibly locked inside their own homes, in some cases to starve to death. Secret police cruised the streets, forcing pedestrians into windowless vans for the crime of being outside. Household pets, dogs and cats, were declared unclean and beaten to death on the sidewalk. It was a hellish dystopian scene. So Lane returned to the US to tell Tony Fauci what he'd seen there. But Tony Fauci was not disgusted. He was not appalled by the human rights abuses that Clifford Lane had seen in China. According to a new report in the Epoch Times, based on depositions that emerged this month, Tony Fauci was envious. "This is what we have to do in the US," Fauci told Lane. So it's very obvious now that from day one, China was the model that American officials, public health officials, were using to respond to COVID here. And in fact, it still is the model. And in fact, lockdowns are still happening in China. They never really ended. And our public health officials have never stopped applauding those lockdowns. In April of this year, the Chinese government shut down Shanghai. Shanghai is the largest city in China. It's one of the biggest cities in the world. Shanghai has a population three times that of New York City, 25 million people. And all of those people, all 25 million, are now suffering indefinite lockdown. Shanghai is the largest prison camp in human history. So why is the Chinese government doing this to its biggest city? Well, no honest person believes it has anything to do with public health, because it doesn't, provably. As of Sunday, yesterday, there were no COVID deaths reported in China, a nation of nearly 1.5 billion people, not one COVID death. So COVID is not a threat to the Chinese government. Political unrest, however, is a threat to the Chinese government, always has been, and that's the point. In China, as in the United States, COVID policy is not a public health matter. COVID policy is a tool of social control. COVID policy is a way for the people in charge to strip from their population the most basic civil liberties and remain in charge. That's very clear, and that's exactly why our leaders support what's happening in China tonight, because they'd like to see it happen here too. Hundreds of millions of people imprisoned across the country. That, according to Harvard epidemiologist Eric Feigelding, is, quote, in everyone's interest. Really? Well, here's what it looks like in China.
In Lanzhou City, some were forced to quarantine outside in the cold in parking lots. This viral video, which CNN could not verify, shows others forced to stay in male bathrooms, sleeping under urinals. And this one, the video says it's a quarantine site for kids in Henan province. A little boy jumping on bricks to avoid the pool of dirty liquid. This is where they use the bathroom. This woman sobs on the ground, crying that after she was caught with her mask pulled down, the government suspended her business for 30 days, losing a month's income. Metal spikes, which the man filming says were installed on a compound gate to prevent residents from leaving.
So those are ad hoc COVID concentration camps, but there are new purpose-built COVID concentration camps under construction right now all throughout China. The city of Urumqi in the west of China has effectively been its own concentration camp for the last 3 months. It's been completely locked down. Residents have been unable to leave their homes for any reason, including to get food or medicine. Last week, a huge fire broke out at an apartment complex in that city. The government had sealed most of the doors in the building, including the exits to the outside. It took firemen more than 3 hours to control the blaze, and by that time, 10 people had roasted to death inside, including a 3-year-old child. So news of this fire spread throughout the country. In China, as in the United States, social media are censored by the people in charge. They spent a lot of time and a lot of money there and here censoring it. But in the end, it doesn't always work. Outrage has a way of getting through even the tightest filters. So protests began to form across China. And those protests have since grown to become the biggest challenge to communist rule since the Tiananmen Square massacre more than 30 years ago. Here's what the protests look like.
Ah!
We'll see where this goes, but again, these are the biggest protests that we know about to occur in China since 1989. But what's interesting is the reaction in this country. So you watch those clips and you wonder, who could be rooting for the secret police in those clips? How could any decent person possibly be on the side of the Chinese government against the population of the country, the people, against human rights, against human decency? Who could root for the tank against the lone brave man standing in front of it? And the answer is, unfortunately, some people could be on the side of the tank. Some people could support the oppressors against the oppressed. And in this country, many people do. One of them is Tony Fauci. Here he is from yesterday, as people are being killed in China for seeking the most basic human freedoms. Here is Fauci suggesting once again that the Chinese government is the model for our country. And that's why we may need to close down our schools once more, even as COVID has become about as threatening as the annual flu. Watch.
Coming out of the holidays, should parents expect schools to shut down?
I don't know, Margaret, I'm not sure. When you talk about shutting down schools, there's always the collateral
That's also
effects.
Radioactive.
Yes, exactly. There's always the collateral issue. So you have to balance, and you do it in real time, depending upon the viral load of disease in your region.
Could we close the schools again? Fascism with a chirpy face. Sure, says Fauci, we could once again deny your children an education. We'll see. We'll see. We'll make that decision at a future time. Over at the Washington Post, star internet reporter Taylor Lorenz was not so circumspect. She just came out and said it. Lorenz flatly praised what China is doing to its own people. Unlike the United States, she said, China isn't choosing to, quote, kill off millions of vulnerable people. In other words, deporting your population to concentration camps is compassion. So you have to ask, since China is the biggest country in the world, our main rival, largest economy, what does the Biden administration think of this? We must have a position on it. We have a State Department that exists to think up positions on things like this. So what does the Biden administration think of what's happening in China? Well, apparently they agree with it. Today, a White House spokesman, John Kirby, the famous John Kirby, was asked for official reaction to the human rights protests raging today in China. And here's what he said.
What is the president's reaction when he hears protesters in China chant freedom or Xi Jinping step down?
The president's not going to speak for protesters around the world. They're speaking for themselves.
And so there's no reaction?
These protesters are speaking for themselves. What we are doing is making it clear that we support the right of peaceful protest.
The protesters are speaking for themselves. Haven't we spent $60 billion to prop up the corrupt government of Ukraine because they're on the side of freedom and democracy, even though it's not a free or democratic country? But that's the pretext. We're for freedom. But here you have people saying, hey, I don't want to be thrown in a concentration camp or starved to death in my own apartment, and the Biden administration can't even take their side? Really? They speak for themselves? They don't speak for the U.S. government? The U.S. government doesn't stand for basic human rights anymore? Really? John Kirby? You should be ashamed of yourself. It's hard to believe that's real. It is real. And the U.S. Congress has, by and large, adopted the same posture. Eric Swalwell spends a lot of his life yelping about human rights on Twitter. Abortion is human rights. And yet he said nothing about what's happening tonight in China. Now, we were not able to reach his former girlfriend, the Chinese spy Fang Fang, for comment either, unfortunately. Nor did we hear a word from the NBA commissioner. That would be Adam Silver. Now, Adam Silver also spends a lot of time yelping about what an authoritarian country this is and threatening the people who live here with punishment. He has no problem threatening American voters in North Carolina, for example, or in Texas who wanted separate bathrooms for little girls. What does he think of killing people for wanting to leave their apartment? Or throwing people en masse into concentration camps? Well, we decided to find out. So we emailed his office today to get his view of Chinese concentration camps. What does Adam Silver think of that? One of our premier moral voices. We didn't get a reply. Why is that? Maybe because he has made millions personally, and the NBA itself makes billions of dollars in China. So the NBA has no word to say about China throwing its population into concentration camps, turning Shanghai into a prison. And in fact, when you ask NBA coaches about civil rights abuses in China, what you get is a lecture about how we're worse. Watch.
It has not come up in terms of people asking me about it, people discussing it. No. nor has our record of human rights abuses come up either. People in China didn't ask me about, people owning AR-15s and mowing each other down in a mall. I wasn't asked that question. The world is a complex place, and there's more gray than black and white.
Oh, so China commits genocide against Muslims and locks down a city of 25 million people, but we've got the Second Amendment and they're pretty much the same. That's the word from Steve Kerr, who's a very famous coach. These people are all on the take from China. The NBA is literally on the take from China. And therefore, they will not say a single negative word about their masters. This is not an American league. These are not people who are loyal to the United States. They despise the United States. They're on the payroll of China. That's true. How is it not true? So they can't even criticize children burning alive in a high-rise apartment building because the doors have been nailed shut because of COVID, which doesn't actually pose a threat to anybody. So the NBA is taking a pass. Eric Swalwell and his Chinese spy girlfriend are taking a pass. The White House is taking a pass. State Department, MSNBC taking a pass. So you have to ask, like, what about the basic ideas behind this? One of the most basic ideas in American life is that it's my body, my choice. We have bodily autonomy in this country. Bodily autonomy. And bodily autonomy is central to the abortion debate. You can't force me to carry my child to term because it's my body. I control my body, not the government. In case you haven't heard that argument before, here it is. This is from recently. Watch.
The right to choose is on this ballot.
We want to protect a woman's right to choose.
Are you ready to stand up for a woman's right to choose?
Remove all doubt that a woman has a right to choose.
Protecting a woman's right to choose?
I mean it sincerely about what's on the ballot this year. Your right to choose is on the ballot.
Oh, the right to choose abortion. What about the right to go outside? Or the right to choose whether to send your children to school? Or the right to choose what drugs go into your body? Or the right to choose not to be thrown into a concentration camp? Are those viable rights too? Are those also examples of bodily autonomy? Do the 1.5 billion people who live in China or the 340 million who live here, do they have bodily autonomy? No. They don't, according to those people. They don't care about bodily autonomy. They don't care about human rights. What they care about is controlling you forever. And that's true. Laura Ingraham is the host of The Ingraham Angle. She joins us tonight. Laura, thanks so much for coming on. It's a little weird to get these lectures every day about how we have to drain the U.S. Treasury and send it to some thug in a tracksuit in Ukraine because human rights. But China is throwing people into concentration camps and no one will say one word, including John Kirby, who should be ashamed of himself?
Yeah, all the people that you mentioned, Steve Kerr, of course, LeBron James, Silver, Larry Fink from BlackRock, heads of Goldman Sachs, the Nike CEO, the U.S. media, a lot of libertarians, sadly, in the Republican Party. They're all complicit here. Let's be very clear what's going on. China is a slave state. There is no gray area. They are an evil dictatorship, and they seek world domination, okay? They hate the blue states, the red states, and everything in between in the United States. The only people that are making billions of dollars in China care about is their own power, their own access, and their own bottom line. They'll sell out their mother for a buck. They'll sell out their mother for power, and apparently they'll sell out their national interest. So there are a lot of people who are collaborators and complicit here, Tucker, and yet they want to hold up the Russia as the biggest threat in the world. I'm not saying it's not a threat, it is a threat. But comparing China, with the largest standing army in the world, to Russia, whose economy I believe is about the size of France's, is ridiculous.
Well, it certainly
and China,
is.
As we know, is funding the war in Ukraine right now. I'm so glad you're doing this tonight because this is the single biggest threat to freedom and our own sovereignty and independence in the world right now. It is in China and our southern border.
So I'd be happy to live in a country that sort of let other countries do their thing and they've got weird customs in Afghanistan or Brunei or Saudi or even China, whatever. And like they do their thing, we do ours. I would be happy with that. What I'm bothered by is the same people who are defending mass concentration camps in China are attacking America. These supposed Adam Silver, Eric Swalwell, Joe Biden, it's all about attacking America as immoral. Why can't they just support their own country? If they're not going to criticize China, why not support us?
Well, the Bidens have made millions and millions of dollars in China, number one. But number two, these people loathe the American tradition. They believe we're an evil, awful, racist nation with sins that can never be redeemed and can never be real. Reparations are never going to be enough. So we can never do enough to atone for our sins, in their view. And to your point about Kirby and what he would not say today, remember what Joe Biden said on June 2nd, 2020, after the Floyd protests really exploded. He said they were very legitimate grievances and they should be a wake-up call for America. That's what he said when our nations, in many cases, were erupting in violence and in flames. Yet they're mute on a slave state in China? And they're the civil rights crusaders? Excuse me, they're all frauds.
John Kirby is supposed to be an adult. He comes on Fox News. He should resign his job tonight. He should be ashamed of himself that he is a mouthpiece for this grotesque policy. And I hope that he has enough dignity and self-respect to resign.
We also need Republicans, Tucker, who are finally speaking the truth about this issue and are not beholden to the investment banks on the multilateral corporations that are continuing to fund this military regime and dictatorship in China. We see what they're doing, and it is horrific.
I agree with that completely. Laura Ingraham, great to see you tonight. Thank you.
Good to see you, Tucker. Thanks.
So John Ratcliffe knows more than almost any living American about what's actually happening in China. He was the director of national intelligence under the last administration. And he has long warned, he has been one of the few voices in Washington to point out that China is the threat, the preeminent threat. John Ratcliffe joins us tonight with his reaction to what is happening in that country tonight. Mr. Ratcliffe, thank you so much for coming on. So
hey, Tucker,
it's hard to have perspective on this for most people, including me, when you see these videos. How significant, how serious are these protests potentially, do you think?
Well, we've never seen protests like this in over 30 years in China, and it really will force the Chinese government to change their governance model. Ever since Tiananmen Square, Tucker, what the Chinese Communist Party has done, they said, we're not going to let that happen again. We're going to engage in the largest massive surveillance state in the history of the world against our own citizens. And if we get even a whiff of discontent, we're going to stamp it out. And they've been successful in doing that. This is the first time in 33 years that we've now seen nationwide protests. And it's not just the problem or the challenge for Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party is it's moved from just a one issue, COVID issue, to now a call for his removal and for regime change. So I don't think anyone knows exactly how this will play out, but it's very serious. And very clearly, the Chinese Communist Party is going to have to adopt a different governance model going forward in light of what's happening there.
I don't think a day has passed in the last 2 years where the rest of us haven't gotten a lecture about, quote, democracy from the Biden administration. Given their commitment to democracy, how can they not have a position on this?
Well, the president's statement today was, let's just be nice, it was late, slow, weak, and cowardly. That's about the kindest thing you can say. I mean, this is the same president who had an opportunity to confront the Chinese president after 3 years and a million Americans were killed by a virus that originated in China, and he didn't do it. So as disheartening as it is, it's not surprising. And, you know, I thought you and Laura really outlined, you know, what's happened here. The silence from the left is deafening. You know, as DNI, I saw this type of, you know, intelligence on a daily basis about how brutal the Chinese Communist Party could be. But on the left, what we've seen is, you know, some are silent because of greed. That's your Hollywood crowd, your Wall Street crowd, your NBA, groups and organizations that want access to 1.4 billion Chinese. And no matter what they do, it's not going to be enough to turn them away from that. But the other, as Laura said, are the group that's complicit. That's your Washington politicians, your blue state governors, your Dr. Anthony Fauci's, your teachers union president, Randy Weingarten. These are the people who can't condemn the Chinese Communist Party because to do so would be to condemn themselves. They are the group that has praised and protected and defended and in some cases emulated the same lockdown measures that the Chinese Communist Party is engaged in right now. And to condemn the Chinese Communist Party would be to condemn themselves and to admit the American people that they've been lying for 3 years and that they were wrong. And I don't think we're going to see that.
Anyone who's awake at all can see exactly what's going on here. And I think they're playing with fire. You can't keep lying to this level forever, I would say. John Ratcliffe, great to see you tonight. Thank you so much.
You too. Thanks, Tucker.
So in one of the many, many intentional humiliations he's committed as president, where they degrade an institution so thoroughly that you can't help but have contempt for your own country, that's the whole point, Joe Biden hired a gender-fluid activist to oversee our country's nuclear waste, someone who's interested in something called pup play. Seems like kind of a weird guy. Well, it turns out he was. He was just charged with a serious crime. We'll tell you what the crime is next. Plus, one mother is now paying big money to deprogram her family from a cult? No, from a college. You should consider doing this, actually. The successfully deprogrammed daughter of this wise mother joins us next. So sometimes when there's a crime, you ask yourself, were there signs? Could we have predicted this? When Joe Biden appointed a pup play loving non-binary dude to oversee our country's nuclear waste, could something possibly go wrong? We weren't sure. But that person, it turns out, was just charged for a bizarre crime. Trace Gallagher of the Fox News Channel, as always, has that story for us. Hey, Trace.
Hey, Tucker, Sam Brittain is now on leave from the Department of Energy. Unknown if the leave is connected to Brittain being accused of stealing a woman's clothing and luggage from Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. Anthony Gakowski of Alpha News reports that Brittain initially lied to police about the luggage, then agreed to return it, but apparently has not yet done so. Brittain is the first openly gender-fluid person to hold a leadership post at the DOE, which the official title is Deputy Assistant Secretary of Spent Waste Disposition. That means disposing of spent nuclear fuel. Interesting that Brittain's doctor, his drag queen alter ego, is Sister Ray D.O. Active. Brittain is also controversial for lecturing at colleges about Kink 101, talking about things like a pup play fetish, you know, dressing up young men in dog collars and muzzles. Brittain is also a member of a drag queen society that uses graphic sexual names to mock Catholic nuns. Brittain, by the way, is seen here with Rachel Levine, the first transgender associate secretary of Health and Human Services. Brittain is also proud of once visiting the White House in high heels.
The great Trace Gallagher, new host of Fox News at Night, Midnight Eastern, a show that's killing it in the ratings for good reason. Trace, thank you so much. So a lot of parents have had this experience. You send your kid off to college, you're proud. Dylan got into Duke, we're so happy. And then the kid comes back and hates not only you, but the country and himself. And the chances of that child having a happy, productive personal life go to about zero. That's the fruit of liberal arts in this country now. So it's a very common experience, but one mother decided to try and fix it. She sent her daughter to attend Mount Holyoke University of Massachusetts, tuition over $50,000 a year. The child comes back totally programmed, like a cult member. So the mom spends $300 a day for a deprogrammer to undo the brainwashing, and it worked. Annabella Rockwell is the daughter. She graduated Mount Holyoke. She's now the development director at PragerU. She joins us. So, Annabella, thank you so much for coming on. So deprogram suggests undoing unreasonable religious belief. Did you feel like a cult member after Mount Holyoke?
Tucker, thank you so much for having me. First, I'm going to say that I arrived at Mount Holyoke bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, so excited to be there in 2011. And as soon as I got there, I was told that, you know, I should refer to myself as a first year, not a freshman, because we were a historically women's college. I was left a note in my mailbox saying, he may be a she may be a he, don't assume anyone's gender. And I thought, oh, okay, like, that's new. And then the last thing was we had the mojo chop, which was this ritualistic haircut that people did in the first semester where everyone would shave their head, sort of as an act of rebellion. So to answer your question, yes. I mean, as time went on and I studied history, I became completely brainwashed into believing that I was oppressed by our toxic patriarchal society. And I left school. I was sad, anxious, intellectually starving. And by 2015, when I graduated, I completely estranged myself from my family.
Yeah. Well, that is underneath it all. We joke about the lunacy on college campuses. But the real cost is not that they'll vote Democrat. The real cost is that they won't love their parents anymore. And that's the most upsetting part of it, I think. So how did you get better?
So in this panic of me not communicating with my mother, she consulted a cult specialist. This person gave her devastating statistics that most people don't make it out, but a glimmer of hope that it tends to be young women who do. So she spoke to him, and he made it very clear to her, do not affirm your daughter's newfound identity. You know her best. She is your child. Don't affirm her.
Yes.
So she was taught how to communicate with me. Now, to actually be deprogrammed, I had to humble myself. A couple things. I reconnected with my family. I moved home. I asked for forgiveness. I admitted I was wrong. Secondly, I made a lifestyle change. I stopped drinking. I started to believe in God again. And lastly, I had to unlearn my 4 years of wokeism by watching 5-minute PragerU videos online for free.
Amazing. It is a cult. Its aim is to separate you from the people who love you most. And I'm so impressed and have such respect for your mother for taking it as seriously as it deserves to be taken and for you for getting out of it. Annabella Rockwell of PragerU, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you remember vividly when social media, Twitter specifically, censored the Hunter Biden laptop story in order to get Joe Biden, who is senile and showered with his own daughter, elected president. How did that happen? Well, Elon Musk is about to tell us. He has the documents. He owns Twitter now. He can tell us how that censorship happened, who pushed for it, what were the mechanics of it. Well, Apple doesn't want that information to come out. Why? They're threatening to punish Twitter if he releases it. An amazing story. Straight ahead. As in China, social media in the United States are censored. That's not compatible with democracy. You can't have censorship in a democracy. A country that censors is not a democracy. Elon Musk, who's not from this country, knows that. He bought Twitter with the aim of stopping censorship and restoring free speech. He just said this. There's been a lot of censorship on Twitter, and we're going to find out what it is. Quote, the Twitter files on free speech suppression soon to be published on Twitter itself. The public deserves to know what really happened. End quote. So why shouldn't we know that? Why shouldn't we know who is shutting down free speech in a country that claims to be a democracy? Well, everybody in power is panicked over this. Apple is threatening to remove Twitter from its app store. So if Twitter no longer can get its app on the app store, there's no more Twitter because you access Twitter through the app. So they're essentially threatening to shut down Twitter. Meanwhile, the White House and the media are trying to convince you that the problem is not China throwing people in concentration camps, suppressing free speech. The problem is Elon Musk, who is trying to restore free speech. He's the evil one. Watch.
It's amazing to watch someone like Elon Musk, who is such a he's such a child. You know, he's so immature. He needs attention all the time. And these guys with these money and this attention and these daddy issues.
I'd say this libertarian nonsense is destructive to American national security. And he has got to reinstitute the same restrictions that were on Twitter before he bought it.
When it comes to social media platforms, it is their responsibility to make sure that when it comes to misinformation, when it comes to the hate that we're seeing, that they take action.
There's something very dangerous about him. He reminds me of a Bond villain. As I said, when the richest guy in the world buys a social media platform, it's just not a good equation. I think he's a dangerous fella.
And that sort of speaks to how he's been governing over at Twitter. Not much transparency into what's going on, just really him ruling by tweet.
So you could deconstruct every single one of those statements. Here's the CIA officer, the guy who lied for a living, telling you we need more censorship. But they're not actually coming out against, quote, hate. What they're saying is, we decide what you can say and what you can't in this democracy. And if you try to speak freely, we'll crush you. It's exactly what they're saying. Jason Whitlock is the host of Fearless. He has been relentlessly focused on the question of social media when most people were ignoring it for years, and we are honored to have him join us tonight. Jason Whitlock, thank you for coming on. So Elon Musk has suddenly ascended to the place that Saddam Hussein used to occupy as the most dangerous man in the world. What is his crime exactly?
His crime is potentially ratting out the people that have been using Twitter and social media apps as mind control. And that is right. what they've exactly. been doing with Twitter. They've been controlling the narrative and what people are allowed to think. If you control what people are allowed to think long enough, you will eventually control what they actually believe. Our thoughts right. lead to our beliefs. They've been controlling our thoughts through social media with their algorithms that suppress certain thoughts and uplift other thoughts. They've been controlling it by smearing people. If you raise questions, hey, I don't think the police are just out randomly killing black people. Well, here comes that Twitter algorithm to smear you as a racist and one of the worst people on the planet. Shut up. Don't say anything. Let's just go along with this narrative. Let's put in people's minds that the police are out randomly killing black men. Therefore, these riots and the burning and looting of cities is justified. Everything that they think or they accused Donald Trump of doing, he inspired, he justified the January 6th riots and all that. That's what they've been doing with Twitter, justifying riots and looting and violence and chaos and anarchy and the destruction of America for a decade over Twitter. You know, the only thing, my concern is like, Elon Musk almost sounds too good to be true. That there would actually be someone with that kind of money who would actually care to stop these people. Hats off to the man so far. I'm thoroughly impressed.
I am too. If he goes through with this, though, it sets a very bad precedent for the people in charge. It's like someone could come in and break the rules. Someone could think freely and say what he really believes. Like, that could be contagious.
Well, and I'm going to really irritate people and give someone credit that deserves credit for being the first domino. And it's really Donald Trump inspired this. He took on the establishment of fake news industry and upset the establishment and their narrative and control and started calling it fake news. And now they're what they're afraid of is like Trump, through the force of his personality and opinions, shook up the establishment. It sounds right. like Elon Musk wants to come with the actual receipts and justify everything that Trump has said over the last 5 to 6 years, and they just don't want the receipts put on display for everyone to see.
Yeah. People who fear facts are dangerous, I would say. Jason Whitlock, who, again, has been on this longer than anyone I know. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tucker.
So you just heard the White House spokesperson decry hate on the internet, hate campaigns. The single biggest hate campaign of our lifetime was waged by the Biden administration against the, quote, unvaccinated. People who are unvaccinated were unclean. You shouldn't have Thanksgiving with them. They're bad people. They're not really Americans. They could kill you. Well, now facts have overtaken that story. The majority of people dying from COVID at this point are vaccinated. So it's not a pandemic of the unvaccinated. No one has told JetBlue, though. JetBlue apparently still believes that the unvaccinated are dangerous, but here's the amazing thing. JetBlue is fine with a violent felon on its plane. No problem at all. An update on JetBlue next. So as we told you, and as you doubtless saw, Brazil had its presidential election several weeks ago. And the left won. And when the left wins, you can't contest the outcome because, of course, it's legitimate. But not everyone in Brazil is convinced of that. In fact, millions of people think the election was rigged and they now have a criminal as president. So there are protests underway across the country. There are reports tonight from investigative journalist Matt Turman that the Brazilian military stands with the incumbent president, Jair Bolsonaro. Matt Turman joins us tonight. Matt, thanks so much for coming on. I know it's a complicated situation, but you follow this as closely as any English speaker. How would you summarize it?
Well, you're right. It is a complicated situation. We are in day 29 of mass protests in Brazil, a democratic country with free elections. And we're talking not tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, but millions. And what looks to be, when all said and done, will be tens of millions. This is the largest democratic protest in possibly human history. And the global media is crickets on this. It is totally being memory-holed in real time. But the people are very clear. They do not want to be led by a convicted criminal. And recall, Lula da Silva was convicted in three separate courts of 12 charges by 19 judges unanimously, not Bolsonaro appointees. This was years before Bolsonaro. And his judicial appointees in the Supreme Court had freed him in the last 2 years just so he could run in this race. And they annulled and vacated his multiple sentences, 12-year sentence, 580 days he served. They let him out to run. And Brazil has a law on the books that says no convicted felon can be an elected office. And they vacated that. They absolutely put him on the chessboard so that they could attempt to control the outcome. And now the people in mass are crying foul. Even in the districts where he supposedly has a stronghold, say the Amazon with indigenous peoples, they're marching on Brasilia. Every city in the country is filled with protesters. And now the question is, what is to be done when you have a judiciary that is not comprised of judges in the classical sense, impartial, nonpartisan judges, but political appointees and partisans who are working to skew an electoral outcome. And so the military has a special role in the Brazilian Constitution, Article 142, that says they are the ones to adjudicate separation of power disputes. And it looks like this will be coming to a head.
Amazing. And of course, Da Silva would be a willing servant of China. So from America's perspective, 100%. It's bad. But the Biden administration is on his side, of course. Matt, thank you 100%. For your reporting tonight on that. Appreciate it. Sure. So the majority of people dying right now of COVID have been vaccinated against COVID. Obviously didn't work, the majority. So with that in mind, it's a little weird to learn that the airline JetBlue is still refusing to hire people who haven't taken the COVID vaccine, even though they're the minority of people who are dying of COVID. They say it's part of their commitment to safety. But as it turns out, that commitment to safety does have limits. So JetBlue just hired a violent felon called John Perry as a pilot. This man spent 9 years in prison for breaking into the home of a judge. He's on probation until 2044. Is this a real story? Well, Luke Rosiak broke it. He's an investigative reporter with the Daily Wire, and he joins us to confirm. Luke, those are, I think, the bare bones of the story. It doesn't seem like that could be real, but it is.
Yeah, John Perry's committed a heinous crime. He broke into the home of a judge and brutally assaulted the judge's daughter in the shower with a metal baton. She fled the home bloodied and naked. When he was arrested, he was found wearing a bulletproof vest, and in his car he had knives, handcuffs, parachute cord, and most disturbingly, a shovel. So this is a bad dude. Now, JetBlue forced all 25,000 of its employees to get vaccinated last year, whether they liked it or not. They won't hire you if you haven't had the vax. But they did hire John Perry's. And interestingly enough, I thought you'd get a kick out of this, the crime he was convicted of was assault with a deadly weapon while wearing a mask.
So, look, most people believe in redemption and you want to see violent felons get better. But to be a commercial airline pilot, you'd think you'd have to meet a separate and a higher standard just because you have the lives of your passengers in your hands. Has JetBlue responded to your inquiries on this?
No, they wouldn't answer any of my questions. And it really is like, it's the epitome of woke logic here where, you know, violent criminals are not a safety threat. They should be let out of jail. They should fly us in steel tubes full of gasoline. But what's a safety threat is not wanting to get a vaccine that doesn't reliably prevent you from getting or transmitting a disease that pretty much everyone has gotten now anyway.
Yeah, and that dramatically increases your risk of heart problems in flight. So, yes, that is the epitome of woke logic, as you just so perfectly put it. Luke Rosiak, thank you for the story and confirming it. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We told you a number of weeks ago a pretty bizarre story, even by the standards of 2022. A Canadian shop teacher wearing fetish gear in the classroom, wagging fake breasts at children, pulling the kids into his fetish world. So that teacher has just been cited outside the classroom. You'll never guess where that teacher was cited. We'll tell you next. So in Canada, under Justin Trudeau, civil liberties are gone. Freedom of speech is gone. Freedom of association is gone. Freedom of self-defense is gone. No more guns. And people with non-traditional gender expression are now a protected class. So one shopkeeper in Ontario, shop teacher, decided to take advantage of that, wearing large prosthetic breasts to class and getting the kids involved in his fetish. So whatever happened to that guy? Well, he recently went skydiving with a porn star. You're seeing the pictures on your screen. His wig apparently flew off while jumping out, but you'll be happy to know his enormous prosthetic breasts stayed on. So that's from the Where Are They Now file. which we couldn't resist bringing to you because it was the kind of thing you could have predicted. No, he's totally normal. Now he is skydiving with a porn star and losing his wig. We're out of time for tonight. We've got a great show already planned for tomorrow, and we hope you have the happiest night with the ones that you love. And in the meantime, we're going to give you great news that Sean Hannity takes over now. Here he is.